Every Saturday morning from 11 to noon, it's Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan KFNS. Now, with more, here's David Craig.
And we're broadcasting from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios here at 590 KFNS in Webster Groves. And we're also doing the thing on the internet, KFNS.com. There's a website for our show, which is Food Talk STL. And I also have a movie blog, a movie review website, which is DavidCraigMovies.com. And on that website, I reviewed Skyfall. Suzanne Corbett is with me in studio. Did you get to see Skyfall yet?
Yeah, were you there the other night?
I wasn't there. I was there a week or so ago.
I was there. Oh, it was great. Fantastic.
I thought it was one of the better Bond movies and definitely the best of the Daniel Craigs.
Well, I agree, but it still didn't quite come up to the point where I could say, it's another Thunderball. That was my favorite.
Entertainment Weekly on their blurb said it's the most thrills in a Bond movie since Goldfinger. And I don't know if I'd go that, but it was good. And I know that they're expecting like a huge box office weekend. So if you want to go see Skyfall tonight, you might want to grab your tickets in advance through the afternoon.
Yeah, and get lots of popcorn with extra butter.
Hey, Suzanne, you invited me to do a thing on Thursday, the 15th. It's at L'Ecole Culinaire in Ladue, which is a beautiful facility right there next to Highway 40. What is the event?
The event is with the St. Louis Press Club of Metropolitan St. Louis. It is the annual food event that we try to do, and it's called State of the Plate, What Would Julia Think? And we're just going to talk about trends, what's going on, and just what do you think that Julia would think about that? And I'm working together some quotes that Julia said that we can spin off of, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And I had the pleasure of knowing her, so it just makes it a little more fun to get involved with it, because I have just a little bit of insight of what she may have thought.
And how did you know Julia Child?
Well, I learned, I had the pleasure of getting to meet her and know her. And I like to say that she was even a mentor, because she would be so kind to give me encouraging notes and postcards and stuff along the way. But I met her originally through an organization that we both belong to, which is the International Association of Culinary Professionals. And then we really got together when we were at the Greenbriars Food Writers Symposium, maybe back in 1990 or so.
Is that that place in West Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a wonderful event, and we all came down for breakfast one day, and Julia came down late. Well, everybody jumped up for the 10 o'clock writer's workshop and ran out the door, and Julia was left in the dining room alone, and I thought, well, you know, I could go and learn how to throw my commas down and write a better lead, or I could go and see if she'd like some company. And it was the best breakfast and the best career decision I ever made.
Well, you know, that's very nice. And sometimes some people would say, well, you know, she's a big-time celebrity. I won't mess with her.
Very down to earth. In that particular time, I had lost my luggage, and she said, we're trying to dress you. Yes, we'll try to help you, but my shoe size is 12. I can't help you.
Well, I think there are, I think Julia would have some interesting thoughts about the food scene and the way it's evolved. What'd she die about 10 or 12 years ago?
I believe she died in 2004, I want to
say.
Yeah,
okay.
Like that.
I mean, even since she's passed on, the evolution in what's being offered in restaurants and the media coverage of the food world, you know, there have been some changes there as well. Okay.
Well, we'll talk all about that. It'll be a fun day, and it's available for people to come. It's open to the public. So.
Oh, yeah. No, if somebody wanted to come, there. Now, this includes food. There's a nice food from
the
L'Ecole people.
There's a three-course lunch that the chefs at L'Ecole Culinaire, the students, are preparing. There's a butternut soup or a Caesar salad. There's, I think, a chicken salad or a chicken penne, something pasta, and some kind of a gourmet to die for brownie.
Well, I have the info on foodtalkstl.com.
Fantastic.
I think it's $22 for non-press club members. And,
correct.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
And right, well, space is limited, so if you want to come.
Chef John Johnson from River City and the woman Roberta Dyfe.
She is a nutritionist and spokesperson for the National Dietetic Association. So
okay,
she's
good.
Got a lot of insight too, and she also knew Julia.
Good. Well, we'll have a nice little chat there.
That'd be great.
I never met Julia. I watched her on TV a few times. I probably watched the Dan Aykroyd bit more than I've watched Julia. But I loved the movie, and I did enjoy hearing all the stuff about her during her centennial back in August. Hey, my guest here in studio on Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS, is Suzanne Corbett, who is a local food writer, a food historian, a cook. We had Nick Malgeri on at the very first segment, who's going to be over at Cravings on Monday night. And he has this great new book about bread, but you've cooked a lot of bread in your life.
Oh, yeah, and I know Nick. And, you know, us bread bakers like to stick together, and I've made lots and lots of bread. And in fact, probably tens of thousands of loaves, because at one time I was considered the St. Louis bread lady, because I did artisan baking years before they called it such, and I was just then considered an itinerant historic baker. Because that's how I got my start in food history. I started baking breads at the historic sites and did living history interpretive work because bread baking was very visual. You could feed lots of people with it, and it was fun.
Were you a vendor to any of the restaurants?
No. I did it strictly as an interpretive program, an educational piece.
Nowadays, do restaurants mainly, well, I mean, I guess some make their own bread and some get them from, you know, Companion and or other suppliers. Is it an economic thing, or is it because maybe is it time and talent involved? What are the main considerations for a restaurant to either make their own bread or to bring it in from outside the building?
Well, in my opinion, it's all of the above, because first off, you need a dedicated space to do it. You need to have people that understand how to make it. It takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do have a great bread that is in-house made, it can build your reputation. Because if the food is mediocre, they'll go out the door saying, boy, that bread was great.
Well, yeah. No, I've gone to places where people say, oh, my gosh, this bread is tremendous. And I can remember when, you know, in the 90s, we used to go to the place out at Cardwell's at the Plaza.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they would come around and they'd say, well, which kind of bread do you want? And I'd say, I'll take one of these, because they, and again, I don't know if they were making it in the house or were getting it from a supplier. Okay, now let's move on to Thanksgiving. The big, probably the biggest for home cooks and for chefs, more for home cooks, holiday of the year.
It's the time we all find our way back into the kitchen. If you haven't been there all year, you're there then.
What is your item that you have in I guess it's in West News Magazine as well as Mid-Rivers News Magazine.
Well, we did a story about different types of side dishes that you can make to try to accommodate everybody's food preferences or special needs, which can kind of get kind of wild. You know, things that are like vegetarian, low-fat, low-carb, which today you like to say smart carbs because not all carbs are bad.
Sure,
you know, it's
sure,
good.
Sure.
But the bottom line is just trying to think smart. I mean, you don't have to eat the whole turkey.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, even though the best part for me is the leftovers and the turkey sandwiches and turkey salad dressing, and I'm in heaven.
Well, I think through the weekend, when it gets to be like Wednesday of the next week and you're still eating turkey or...
Well, you've got a problem.
Turkey pot pies or, hey, is anybody going to finish off the dressing? You sent to me, and I'm going to post on my Food Talk website later, a recipe for colonial chestnut stuffing, which I guess is a historic recipe.
Yes, it is. Remember, I'm a food historian, so I love these historical recipes that are updated. And this has chestnuts that are like the bottom line classic for a turkey dressing. Sometimes they're hard to find.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. You know, do I need to go out in the woods to get these, or can I?
Well, not here, because most of the chestnut trees in the U.S. were devastated because of some kind of fungus or something that wiped them out. But they're wonderful. If you can find them, take them, make a little cross on the top of them, mm-hmm, and roast them, I think is the easiest way to do it. You go out to St. Charles, you'll find chestnut roasters out on Old Town Main Street that are demonstrating it. You can buy a bag of hot chestnuts and run down the street and shop and munch on them. It's great. Well, shell them and put them in your dressing. They're wonderful.
And do you have another side dish that you could recommend that's maybe simple and easy? Like maybe a different way to cook potatoes or sweet potatoes or even something like beans or asparagus.
You know what I like to do is I like to take potatoes and sweet potatoes and put them together. And I think something that's kind of...
Is that legal?
Yeah,
okay.
It is. Well, in this state.
Okay.
You know, some other state, it may not be legal to marry them, but,
yeah.
You know, you can do it here. What I like to do is I'll slice up an Irish potato with a sweet potato. I'll shuffle them around like I'm dealing cards. I'll put them in a buttered baking dish, and I'll cover it with just enough heavy cream for it to just cover that down real good, and I'll cover the top with Parmesan cheese, pat it down, put a little bit of pepper on the top, a little bit of parsley, maybe some thyme, slide it into the oven for maybe about 45 minutes or so at about 375 degrees, and let it bubble and squeak until it gets real tender and thick.
That sounds good. That sounds real good. Hey, I'll see you on Thursday.
Thursday, it's a date.
L'Ecole Culinaire, and we're done. Our show is just about over here. Thank you for listening. If you would, please spread word. Tell a friend or neighbor that we have this show here on Saturdays from 11 to noon. Next Saturday, we're back on the air. The Illini game is a late kickoff next week. They're playing today, and the pregame show begins at 2 o'clock. Here on 590 The Fan, KFNS. Have a great Saturday. Thanks for listening.